Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Y'all are doing okay. I want to just share a couple things just real quick. They'll do announcements later, but I'll just mention this. Just so everybody knows, we are presently working. I don't know if we've officially told everybody this. We're presently working on trying to put in a parking lot. So that's coming, and hopefully it will be here before Easter. Also, we will be moving into two services before Easter. So if you want to, it's good stuff. It's very good stuff. If you want to mark your calendars, March 22nd is when we will start two services. They will be at 9:15 and 10:45. I always say it wrong whenever I announce it, but 9:15 and 10:45. So, for those of you that have Titan season tickets, you're okay. First service, you're here. You don't have to miss church. And for those of you don't have Titan season tickets, then you got 10:45, so you can sleep later. But we'll be talking about that. If you serve somewhere, if you're volunteering somewhere, you're going to be hearing from some of your leadership asking you and talking to you about how much you want to serve. It's kind of moving us into a phase where we can do a little more as far as people being able to serve. In fact, they could literally serve every week if they wanted to, and still never miss the service. So we're looking for people that are willing to do that, looking for people to be willing to do it three times a month or twice a month or whatever it may be for 1 hour or the other, and then be able to go to service the other hour. And so just be praying about that. Be thinking about that. And as I've talked with our leadership, I've told them, I've said, when you talk to our folks, ask them to pray about what God wants them to do as far as serving and that type of thing. So, of course, many of you will be here both hours because you'll be doing that. And if you're not serving somewhere and this is your church home, then I encourage you to do that. And if you're interested in trying to figure out what you could do, we have everybody that wants to serve fill out a background check. Those are in the seats. That's why those are there. We're not just randomly filling out background checks on people that we don't know. But that's just kind of a protection for our kids thing. And so you've got that there, and you can check that out and turn that in the offering later. Make sure your phone number is on it, because there's not a place for that. And that way I can give you a call and we can try to figure out where you want to serve, where you want to be. So let me pray for just a second over this, and then we'll get into it. God, thank you so much for allowing us just to get to come together this morning and to worship you. God, I thank you for blessing us beyond our imagination some days, Lord, with the things that you have done for us, but especially for the sacrifice of your Son. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak through your word, God, and that you would just use it, God, to speak to our hearts. Show us what we need to hear. Show us what we need to see. God, just use this time. May it be all for your glory. In your name I pray. Amen. I told you last week we talked about Nehemiah. We went through the first chapter of Nehemiah. And if you were here last week, I said, Tuesday night, the leadership deal, we'll talk about Nehemiah. Well, we did. And then I said, and then next Sunday, we'll talk about Nehemiah some more, and we're not. So I just changed gears and was like, we'll come back to that. We'll probably do some Nehemiah next week. But just being that this was Valentine's Day weekend, I kind of felt led to go a little bit different direction and talk about love a little bit. And I hope that that's okay with everybody in here, and we'll see whether it is or not. But love is the subject of the weekend. I loved getting to see people on the internet, on their Facebooks and all that kind of stuff, talking about the things that they were doing last night and posting, we're doing this, we're doing that. I posted last night, this is what we did, this is what my wife wanted to do. She said, let's go to Waffle House, because we didn't want to go get in a big crowd or anything. Sure enough, there is nobody at Waffle House on exit 11 on Valentine's Day night. In fact, there were a couple of people there when we got there, and as soon as we sat down, they got up and took off, and I looked at her and was like, we must really stink. That's a good place to go for Valentine's Day.
Not anymore.
That's rough. We love Waffle House, big fans of it. But then, there's, I was just thinking about things that I love. I love some of the infomercials that are out right now. I've already talked about ShamWow. I've updated everybody on my obsession with the ShamWow guy and the fact that he's got a mic and yet he's doing a commercial, and how much it really bothers me. You know, Germans make good stuff and he's cutting it and all this stuff and I'm just like, go away. But then there's a whole nother set of commercials. It's like there's an influx right now. I don't know if like this is like the perfect time. I'd like to go back in economical history and look at like times that are bad and see if that's like a good time to come out with like the most ridiculous things to try to sell on TV, because that's what's happening right now. And yeah, you know, the Amish fireplace is one of those things for sure, that they will give you the mantle if you will buy the fireplace, if you'll buy the heater that comes in it, you know, an amazing, amazing thing. There's a limit of two of those, I think, when you go to buy, you know, because we just can't be giving those mantles away. And so the Amish are extremely nice to do that. And then we've got, you know, probably my favorite for the moment. I probably should save the last, but I won't. My favorite for the moment, and this is really not you buy something. This is how to get some money. So this is probably like a, we're going to try to, you know, get the people that are down and out right now, is the cash for gold. And I just can't tell you how happy I get every time it comes on TV, because I'm going, how did they know I had so much unused gold? You know, and like, you know, then there's another, there's like two, or if you pay real close attention, there's like two or three of these things. And one of them's like, you know, we'll send you your free gold kit. And it just is like, it's an envelope that I'm supposed to put my unwanted gold into the envelope and then send it away to somebody I don't know, and then they're going to send me a check. I actually read something about a scam on this thing a couple weeks ago. It was pretty interesting. But, you know, it basically said, don't do it. You know, which, you know, if you have to have somebody to tell you that, then there you go. But the cash for gold, I loved Super Bowl night. My favorite commercial was the cash for gold commercial. If you didn't see it, Ed McMahon and MC Hammer unite for cash for gold. And Ed McMahon is selling like gold golf clubs, and MC Hammer has got like gold medallions. And it was just, it was awesome. It was just great, and I love it. You know, and then and this one, and I'll stop on these things, but the latest one, and my wife loves this. She doesn't have one, but she wants one. And this is so my wife, is the Snuggie. I don't know if you've seen the Snuggie, but the Snuggie is a blanket with sleeves. That's all it is. That's all it is. And we've got some ladies in our church. We've got the Beth Cars and other people. They could probably be making the Snuggies for us. So if you want a Snuggie, go hit somebody up. Maybe you can help them make some money. But the Snuggie, and then you know, above and beyond all of that is the, you know, as seen on, you know, the not available in stores. And then like you go to Eckerd and they have the whole section of as seen on TV. And there it all is. You know, so you can go to ShamWow and get your Eckerd. You don't have to go to Eckerd and get your ShamWow. You don't have to order it off of TV. So, yeah. Now you know what I spend my time doing late at night, you know, hitting the internet. I'm not watching TV shows anymore. I'm watching commercials. That's what I really feel like sometimes. I couldn't tell you the last TV show I actually watched all the way through. So, you know, all this to say, you know, we love a lot of stuff. And we love people, we love family, we love friends, we love God, we have all this love. And somewhere in there is, you know, there's obviously, we see in Scripture different types of love, different kinds of love. And today we're talking about a love that coincides with something that I think is very much for us. And this weekend, you know, I just, you know, in thinking about this and praying about this, you know, and the whole love thing, I'm talking about the husband and wife love today, although this may apply to some of you, and you may need to take some of this home and practice it. But the love I'm talking about today is a little bit different kind of love. It is the love that we are called to amongst each other, just in general. It's the love that we're all called to as far as like how we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, how we love people that we work with. You know, basically anybody that God has made and put on the planet, we're supposed to love them. That's a tough thing for us to do, but it's a call on our lives. And the scripture that we're talking about today is out of Romans chapter 12. And in this particular passage, we have Paul, and Paul has actually been teaching on spiritual gifts. And he's been talking about the spiritual gifts, you know, and the importance of them and the importance of using them. And, you know, and you may go, I have no spiritual gifts. Listen, you have spiritual gifts. If God lives within you, there's something he's wanting to do inside of you. And it may be something that you've never cultivated because maybe you're not spending enough time with God. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you're just not seeking that out. Maybe you're not saying, God, what is it you're wanting me to do? We're all called to serve. If you sit in a seat every week at church and that's all you do, then you are a bump on a log. You know, if that is what your Christian walk consists of, you're a bump on a log. And you're not doing anything for the kingdom. You go, well, I'm here. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're here. You're having to deal with me. You know, there's much better than me for your Christian walk. You know, and God wants you to know that. He's purposefully created these spiritual gifts for us to come in contact with, for us to find what it is God wired us up to do, and for us to jump in on that. And so I just encourage you. People say, Gretchen, you're just trying to get people to serve. I'm not trying to get people to serve. I'm trying to get you to a place where you can understand that you will grow more in Christ as you serve him, as you spend time with other believers and community and things like small groups and Bible study, as you, most importantly above all of it, as you spend time with God, as you cultivate your relationship with God. The most important thing that we can do is spending time with him. It's the easiest thing for us to overlook. This passage of scripture this morning is Romans chapter 12, verse 9. And just right out of the chute, it just says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. There you go. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Maybe you're going through something right now and you're going, Chris, what am I supposed to do? That. Patient. Just be patient. And whilst doing so, faithful in prayer. Faithful in prayer. That means that you're not just praying empty prayers. You're believing that you're talking to God, that he's hearing you, that you're calling on the sovereign God of the universe and believing that he can do something. Faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. None of you would do that, right? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And then he goes into more, and I'm going to let you read that on your own. You go read the rest of this on your own. But he goes into more of this, you know, about how we're not supposed to repay evil for evil and how we're not supposed to basically just treat people like junk. We're supposed to love people. You know, the thing I love probably the most about those commercials I was talking about a minute ago is that I look at the people on those commercials and I think to myself, when they walk off the set, when they get in their car and they call their spouse, if they have one, or friend or whoever, and they say, well, we got done with that. I wonder what they really say about it. I mean, do you think that guy really is like sitting around the house right now playing with ShamWows? I mean, yeah, they make you go wow, but they're not that wow. You know, and I just gotta believe that there's something in me that, you know, obviously they're getting paid, they're actors, they're supporting a product, but I mean, really? I mean, really? Do you think MC Hammer is like, I'm gonna send him my gold? No, it's fake. It's fake. It's insincere. This passage, very first thing, love must be sincere. And if you go back and you study that and you look at that in that particular context, in that scripture, what it is saying is that it must be without hypocrisy. You know, we all say, I mean, it's the biggest reason people don't come to church is because, well, you know, I've heard this so many times. I did a video thing one time where I went to a Chili's. I didn't ask. I just like pulled out the camera and started going table to table. This was really good. And I was like, tell me reasons why you think people don't go to church. Like the number one thing that I heard over and over and over is because most Christians are hypocrites. Well, to some degree, yeah, we're all hypocrites. Some of us maybe worse than others, but we're sinners. But, you know, even we say, you know, I don't like that person because they say one thing and they do another. But I'm here to tell you today that if we don't love with sincerity, then we're hypocrites. I've heard this. Tell me if you've heard this one. Actually, don't tell me. I don't want to know. I've heard this one, and it's the, you know, well, that's just the way they are. You know, that's just the way they are. They're just that way. They just don't love everybody, or they just don't like everybody. Let me tell you something, straight from Scripture. If you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you're using excuses like, well, that's just the way I am. You know, they treat me wrong. I can't love them. I'd say you had to trust them with your kids. I'd say you have to, like, give them your car. I'm just saying that you love them sincerely. If you're using the excuse of, well, that's just the way I am, or that's just the way they are, that's sin. That's sin. You go, Chris, I know people, they could never get past some of the things that have happened in their life. I want you to look at something with me. And this is not on the screen, but it's in this passage. Again, you can go back and read this passage. But earlier in the chapter of chapter 12, Paul says this little thing. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know what that means? That means if Christ lives within you, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and you have all the power in this world to say no to sin. And for us to hate others is sin. You say, well, Chris, I don't hate them. I don't hate them. Really? I mean, it really only goes one way or the other. God's called us to love each other. Say, Chris, okay, I get it. We're supposed to love each other. What's it matter? It matters this. If we don't love each other, then there is scriptural reference and basis that we don't love God. So I ask the question, do you love God? Do you really love God? I mean, do you really love him? I have to ask myself that question. Do I love God? Do I really love him? Do I show this world that I really love God by how I act, how I treat people, how I love or hate them? In this passage, love, verse 9, love must be sincere. And I don't, if you've got your Bible with you, this is one of those passages that I think is great for underlining just certain words. And I did this earlier this week, and I just underlined the word sincere. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, and then I underlined this. I underlined cling, just the word cling. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, and I underlined devoted. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. See, we're called to be doers of the word, and if we're doers of the word, we've got to do these words that we're underlining right here. To be sincere, to cling, to be devoted. It goes on. Honor one another above yourselves. I underlined honor. How much do we honor other people above ourselves? Because this is what we do. Well, I just don't like them. I'm not putting them before me. It's a sin. Say, Chris, you're being the sin police. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to teach you Scripture. Just trying to help us get to a place where we can go, you know what? That's keeping me from getting closer to God. It's hindering my relationship with God. It's clogging up the pipeline of my relationship with God. If you keep going, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Underlined keep. Keep your spiritual fervor. Serving, underlined serving. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Underline joyful and patient. Faithful in prayer. Underlined faithful. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Share and practice. This is all like, you know, this is stuff we've got to like get on it. You say, Chris, what's the hurry? You want to know what the hurry is? Death is the hurry. Death is the hurry. I didn't wear my Valentine's Day shirt today. I wore my Halloween shirt today. I hope that's okay with everybody. Somebody will be afterwards, oh, he wore a skull on his shirt. God made it. We made it bad. It's not bad. It's just a skull. You got one. I hope you do anyway. He's like, Chris, you know, what's the deal with skulls? Because I do. I have like several shirts with skulls on them. Chris, what's the deal with that? You know, it reminds me of death, and death's a bad thing. Well, I beg to differ. God created death. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think for us to understand that death is not something that we should just always try to put in the back of our mind. Now, I'm not trying to make light of someone that maybe has lost someone dear to them in their life here recently. Not talking about that. I've lost many friends and family members. Obviously, there's a time to mourn, a time to cry. We see all that in Scripture. But what I'm talking about right now is for us to remember that death is real. And in doing so, when we remember that death is real, we remember that our love is more meaningful than something just for us. Because I think what we've decided to do is we're just going to pick and choose people to love based upon whether we like them or not. And that's not what we've been called to do. We've been called to love people based upon God's call and our love for Him. You see, here's how it works. Here's how it works. Here's the secret to the whole thing. You've heard me say this before. If we love God, if we love God, then we love people. If we love God, we love people. Not some people. We love people. I've got a video that I want to show you. It's about 5 minutes long. And it's a video blog from a guy named Penn. And Penn's a magician. Some of you will recognize him of Penn and Teller. And Penn is a magician. And I've actually posted this on my Facebook in case somebody wants to like go find it and show it to a friend or something like that. But I saw this week and it just hit me. And my heart is very evangelistic. I want to reach people like crazy, but sometimes I think we just get in a rut and we forget the call that's really on our lives. And Penn, I want to share this with you before you see this video, and I really want you to pay attention to this video. It's not the best video quality. We yanked it off the internet, so it's not that great looking or whatever, but it gets the point across. I really want you to hear what he has to say. Penn is an atheist. You'll hear Penn in the video at some point say, I know God is not real. That's not the feeling of our church, obviously. We know God is real. But he's in a different place in life. Someone comes and intervenes in his life in just a moment of time. And it shakes him. And he blogs about it. So I want us to watch this. Let's check this out together.
I want to talk to you about this. I get home from the show, and at the end of the show, as I've mentioned before, we go out and we talk to folks and, you know, sign an occasional autograph and shake hands and so on. And there was one guy waiting over to the side in the what I call the hover position after I was all done. Big guy, probably about my age. Big guy. And he had been the guy who has picks the joke during our psychic comedian section of the show. So he had the props from that in his hand because we'd give those away. He had the joke book and the envelope and the paper and stuff. If you haven't seen the live show, I that's not worth explaining. But he had props from the show that we'd given him from the night before. He wasn't the guy that night. And he walked over to me and he said, I was here last night at the show, and I saw the show and I liked it. And he was very complimentary about my use of language and complimentary about, you know, honesty and stuff. He said nice stuff. No reason to go into it, but he said nice stuff. And then he said, I brought this for you. And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. I thought it said from the New Testament, but I also thought it was Psalms from the New Testament, right? Psalms from the New, just part of the New Testament. Little book about this big, this thick, you know. He said, I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this. I'm kind of proselytizing. And then he said, I'm a businessman. I'm sane. I'm not crazy. And he looked me right in the eye and did all of this. And it was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he was not defensive, and he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me. And then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And I've always thought that, and I've written about that, and I've thought of it conceptually. This guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which had written in it a little note to me, not very personal, but just, you know, liked your show and so on, and then like five phone numbers for him and an email address if I wanted to get in touch. Now, I know there's no God, and one polite person living his life right doesn't change that. But I'll tell you, he was a very, very, very good man. And that's really important. And with that kind of goodness, it's okay to have that deep of a disagreement. I still think that religion does a lot of bad stuff, but man, that was a good man who gave me that book. That's all I wanted to say.
It cuts right to the core when we hear it from someone who doesn't even believe in God to say, how much do you have to hate somebody to not share something that you really believe in would save their life? Death is coming for every one of us. We have the opportunity to love on people for the period of time that we have this life. The excuses that we make to not do it only lead us into sin. Love must be sincere. And we heard that. We heard about a sincere love from a man to another man. He didn't even know him. And that you can tell it shook him to his core. And I think at the bottom of all this, I think for most of us, a lot of times what happens is we just kid ourselves into believing that no one's going to listen to us, and we completely take out the factor that God is at work and He can work in their lives. And sometimes He's just waiting for us to be obedient, just to say a few great words. And in doing so, He can use those words to solidify something that maybe He's been speaking into their heart. Maybe the fact that they've put on a front forever of, I am this or I am that. But maybe God's been dealing with them on the inside and waiting for some type of proof of it. Because they're thinking the same thing He is, and that's that if we really believe that there's a heaven and there's a hell, that if we don't know Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we're headed to hell, then how much do we have to hate Him to not share it with them? How much do we have to hate each other to have people that we don't talk to in our own church or at work or in our families? This morning I leave you with a passage of scripture from 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 through 21. And I'm going to let you read it on your own.